it's so popular in the media to kick tradesmen.
Yeah.
You know, they're constantly being shown as dodgy rip-off merchants. And like, if that's true, how does any Structure in Australia stand?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if that's so true, why are people living in houses?
Welcome to the Tradies Business Show with Warwick Bidwell. Talking business ownership, the nuts and bolts, and everything in between.
G'day and welcome to another episode of the Tradies Business Show. I'm your host, Woz, Warwick Bidwell, and today I'm chatting to a guy who is very, very passionate about Australian tradies. He's also very passionate, but also very experienced when it comes to the topic of resilience. And I have a great chat with Jason Spall from Coastal Asbestos Removal. And Jason and I know each other through the Lived Experience Network, which is a network of people who have a lived experience of suicide. And as we know, suicide rates in the construction industry, well, they're way too high, but they're certainly well above the national average. And yeah, Jason and I got in touch a little while ago. We finally got each other in, well, not the same place, but on the same technological device at the same time. And we have a really good chat about the face of Australian trades, running a trade business, resilience, dealing with adversity and challenge. And yeah, really good chat. I'm actually going to have to get Jason back on the show, I think. We had probably as long a chat after I pressed stop on the recording device as we did beforehand. So you might hear from Jason again. Have a listen to this episode, and I'd love to hear your feedback. Go and have a chat with me via the Facebook page, Tradies Business Show on Facebook, or you can go to tradiesbusinessshow.com and send me a message there. So enjoy today's episode. I'll see you on the flip side. So joining me today on the Tradies Business Show is Jason Spall from Coastal Asbestos Removal. I think I got that right, mate. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Warwick.
Mate, great to have you on the show. As I often say with introducing my guests, I would prefer that my guests introduce themselves because I often make a bit of a meal of it, mate. So can you tell the listeners who you are and I guess a bit about how you've come to be chatting to me on the Tradies Business Show today, mate?
Yeah, so my name's Jason Spall, obviously for Coastal Asbestos Removal. We Gold Coast-based company. We specialise in asbestos removal and management. So we work with a lot of builders, homeowners. Basically, the thing about asbestos is it's specialised, it's regulated. And if it's in good condition in your home, there's no need to worry about it. Just maintain it. But if you need to get it removed, it's definitely not a DIY situation.
No, it's a recipe for disaster, mate.
Oh, mate, yeah. And there's all sorts of ideas and methods that people have to get around the legislation. But you know, it's safety is not only a law, it's a moral obligation that you have to the people that you work with, work for, and your customers. So
absolutely.
So best, mate, off.
Tell us a bit about Coastal Asbestos Removal. So a bit about your business, how many people you got working for you, how long you been in the business?
Yeah, so we've got a team of five at the moment. We're based on the Gold Coast, so we service from Kingscliff to sort of south sort of Beenleigh, so it's about a 50k radius from our base. We really, really pride ourselves on our compliance and our knowledge of the legislation. We, you can imagine asbestos removal businesses are hard to attract good staff and then retain them. So one of the things that I've done is I've decided to involve all of our guys in the legislation and all the rules and regulations that we need to be able to run our business safely. So we have safety meetings, we've got safety calendars, we've got checklists, all the kind of stuff that we need to do. And it's had a really positive impact on the business because our guys feel more engaged and more empowered, and they're becoming their own, you know, real experts in their trade, because it's really hard to get guys to see the value in this kind of work. And you know, if you're doing this kind of work, you really got to want to be doing it. It's not really the kind of job you can do until you get something better or you haven't got any work on. So that's our sort of, that's our main focus. And so what we say to our customers is we offer safety and compliance. Basically, it's that simple. You know, we do a lot of reporting too, asbestos registers. We've developed a first program in Australia for residential property managers to keep them safe from asbestos litigation, because not many of them are aware about that. Their public liability insurance and most trades insurance excludes asbestos related claims. So thinking that you can just sort of go along and I've got insurance that will cover that, it's just not the truth. And you know what, that's an unfair situation that everybody's in. And I know it's in the policy disclaimer documents, but a lot of people come unstuck from that. Another one of our services, we offer soil, asbestos contaminated soil removal and management. And that can be, you know, there's a lot of work on the Gold Coast at the moment with the games coming. So we've done that. A lot of the pipes, you know, a lot of the conduits and pipes in the ground are asbestos, and got to come out. So, yeah, so it's a fairly, you know, like people look at me like I've got some sort of blacksmith business from the 1840s. But, you know, with a renovation boom and roadworks and infrastructure upgrade, it's actually quite relevant.
Yeah, I was down on the Gold Coast on the weekend, mate, doing a bit of training and stuff myself. And the construction down there is just—it's just mind blowing, mate.
Oh, mate, it's incredible. You know, I come up here 28 years ago, and you know, I've never seen an area with so much development. It just doesn't seem to stop. Like, okay, we've got the games now, and. But it's just another excuse to build more stuff.
Which is good for blokes like you.
Oh, yeah, it's great. You know, like the Gold Coast is like a – we just had a – I've just been to a business group, and we have expert speakers come in, and they're talking about the economy, the Gold Coast economy. It's basically hospitality and construction and the finance. You know, they're the big employers. So it's a great place to live if you're a tradie. You can work all year. The weather's awesome. You know, I don't have to think about the weather when I get up in the morning. You know?
How do you choose between surfing and working though, mate?
No, I'm a little bit too chubby to be surfing. Bit of natural selection there.
Everyone's going to want to Google you and go look at your photo now, mate. So, Jason, you mentioned that you moved to the Gold Coast. Tell us a bit about where you came from, and then perhaps we can... talk a little bit more about, I suppose, some of your recent history, mate, or not so recent history.
Yeah, okay. So, grew up in Victoria, based of the Dandenong Rangers. So, winter's about 6, summer's 42. so, there's no sort of method to the madness of the weather. And I actually come up here on a 4-week holiday, and I think because I finished year 12 and all that kind of, it's like a rite of passage thing. And after about 4 weeks, I just thought, there's no chance I can go back home. There's no way. Because something about the Gold Coast and me clicked, and there was no way I was leaving. So started working in hospitality, and then ended up a metal roofer. So we did that for about 20 years. And as that business sort of expanded more and more, we got into asbestos roofs and gutters, because that's, you come across it. You're like... 90% of homes in Australia built before 1990 will contain asbestos in them, according to Safe Work Australia. Mm. So, and on all these roofs, especially the roofs, they're all 60 and 70 years old.
Yeah.
They are way past their life, and they're not serviceable, so they've got to be removed. So we got into that when Queensland floods happened. We got into it in a lot bigger way, because we were doing insurance work, and the insurance company said to us, can you strip out houses as well as do the roofs for us?
Mm.
So that sort of started that sort of, yeah, we could do this, I think. And then probably another couple of years later, it's the easy way to explain it is my roofing career was over, lost passion for it. I just couldn't do it anymore. And we looked at the things that we had in the business that we'd done before, and I just thought, I think it's probably time for us to go more into the asbestos.
Yeah, right. Just a natural progression.
Yeah, I think so. And it come around a time, like, we lost my brother to suicide. And one of the things that come out of that was, you know, you sit there and you look and you go, what's making me miserable? What do I need to change? And how can I make my life simpler? And funnily enough, riffing to asbestos was was one of the things that was a big influence. And it's probably the best decision I ever made, to be honest.
Sounds a bit counterintuitive, but obviously it's worked well for you.
Yeah, it's worked really well.
Now, mate, for our listeners' benefit, you and I are both part of this thing called the Lived Experience Network in, well, not just Australia, is it? It's a global, an international initiative. Yeah. But you and I know each other through the Lived Experience Network, which is a community of people with an experience of suicide. You mentioned you lost your brother to suicide. How long ago was that, mate?
Just on 2.5 years now. It was February, 2 years ago. So it was something that pretty much come out of the blue for us and our family. And the challenges, the obvious challenges, but also my whole family was in Melbourne and I was on the Gold Coast.
Mm.
And that just put massive pressure on me. And that was, at that time, I was toying around with the idea of transitioning the business. But that's the thing that I just said, oh, I have to do this now. There's no way I can keep doing the roofs. And, you know, like being a tradesman for a long time, I don't think it matters what the trade is. You are conditioned to get a result. You've got to get the job finished. You know, you're on tight deadlines, you're on timelines, and you just become tough. You know, you have to become tough. You have to go to work with a sore shoulder, sore back, all those kind of things. You know, you've just got to push through.
Yep.
And, you know, resilience becomes second nature. But sometimes, you know, even no matter how tough you are, these things can get on top of you.
Absolutely. And, mate, I'm going to direct our listeners to another podcast, which is Roses Radio. Roses in the Ocean is one of the fantastic, training organisations, but sub-communities of the Lived Experience Network. And you did an interview there where you go into a lot more detail about, I guess, you know, events surrounding the loss of your brother and the specific impact of that. But, mate, you mentioned resilience, and it's something that I'd like to talk with you about today, because I know, having worked with small business owners and tradies for the best part of the last 10 years, that concept of resilience, or I think we misconstrue that. My old man's a builder and came from a pretty tough upbringing in Western Sydney. And so this concept, particularly for Australian men, of just sucking it up and you know, take a teaspoon of cement and get on with it, I think that's quite a dangerous misconception of what it means to be resilient. What are your thoughts on what resilience is and perhaps what it isn't, Jason?
I guess I had a little bit of a midlife crisis like everybody else does, and got back into the gym and, you know, and did some, and was able to achieve some pretty incredible things with mindset. And I realized to be able to do the things that I wanted to do, I was going to have to learn some resilience, because, you know, if you want to do like pretty extreme things, there's a point where your body's going to give up and your mind has to take over.
Can you just... Sorry to jump in. Can you just unpack that a bit for us? You said, you had your midlife crisis, hit the gym, did some pretty amazing stuff with mindset. What are we talking?
Lost like 50 kilos in 9 months.
Jeez.
Ran up 12 mountains in 12 months, did a couple of tough mudders, and I did an ultra marathon.
Yeah, so
stuff like
so not just like bench pressing your body weight or something.
I never actually achieved that. Now I'm going to have to do that, you know.
You'll have to work at that now, mate.
So I was able to, you know, and to do all that, I just had a really good trainer. I had a really good partnership with the trainer, and she just fed it, and I was just like, it was awesome. It was like being reborn.
Mm.
And stuff that I learned there, you know, I looked towards, because I was in that mindset of push, push, push. I started studying some stuff by an ex-Navy SEAL commander. And because that's where I thought, if I'm going to have to learn this, I'm going to have to go to, you know, these guys use this stuff to keep themselves alive in stressful situations. So
yeah,
I learned the lessons. And, you know, what surprised me the most was, it's not about being aggressive, it's about actually being calm, and it's about centering yourself and using your breath to calm your mind, and you know, like, it's really funny to hear that this guy, Mark Devine, he was a Navy SEAL commander, and the Navy SEALs sort of said to him, mate, we've got this massive dropout rate, and that's really good because we want tough people, but we're losing. It's costing us a fortune. We're losing these tactically excellent guys, aggressive, everything.
Yep.
Can resilience be taught? So he went and found out, and he said, yeah, it can. Mm. So I learned those lessons, and it probably wasn't until we lost my brother that I had to fall back on him. You know, after I'd done all the physical stuff and, you know, and sort of put the weight back, a lot of it back on, not all of it, but you know, like, I sort of thought I don't need these things anymore. But yeah, then with the stress of my brother, I had about 14 flights in 12 months up and down. And every flight I had to carry, you know, I was carrying a laptop. I had to learn how to run my business mobile, and I had to get my head out of one business into the other business. And one of the big results from that was just massive burnout.
Yeah.
And huge chunks of memory loss. I could talk to you, you know, face-to-face, meet you, all that kind of thing. 10 minutes, I'd have no recollection of that conversation.
Yeah.
Even if you come up to me and talk to me, I would have no – and I started to think, hang on, this isn't normal. This isn't like, you know, I'm tough. I can do this. I'm up for this.
You're a tough bloke. But actually, you climb mountains and run marathons and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. And it's just sort of – it really caught me off guard. And I thought, hang on, I need to really do something about this. So I got back into that mindset training and just the small drills, and it made all the difference. It was everything, you know. In that 12-month period, I managed to stack on about 20 kilos, like really, really quickly, and all that was weighing me down, and everything sort of got on top. But I just kept thinking, I can push through, and like, families weren't really dealing with everything really well in Melbourne, and that's why I had to go up and down so much. And I try to take all the pressure off mum and dad, so anything that was coming bad, I put myself between them and it. But we got through it, but without revisiting that resilience training, there would have been, I don't know, it wouldn't have been, we wouldn't have got through it.
Yeah.
To be honest. So, and then at the end of the 12 months, I turned it back on and smashed off about another 16 kilos. Mm. So the lessons there, like, it can be taught and it can be learnt, and it's not that hard.
So there's probably a bunch of people listening to this going, well, that's awesome, but what is it? What is this resilience training, and perhaps what are some of the keys to it? What were your, go-to strategies with redeveloping that resilience, Jason?
I guess going through the book again, and it's all, a lot of it's about, like, they use meditation a lot, and I know that sounds like a bit hippie, but if you're learning meditation from a Navy SEAL, just trust that it's not going to be. And the way that they frame it is like, this is like, if you think about being in the intense positions that these guys find them in, these are the techniques that they can use on the spot to keep them calm and push through. So a lot of it is about, on the spot where it's all happening, is about centering your breath and controlling your breath. Because believe it or not, when you're in a stressful situation, a lot of people tend to hyperventilate, which starves your mind of oxygen.
Mm.
And that doesn't equal making good decisions.
Is this a guy that teaches tactical breathing or box breathing?
Yeah, box breathing, yeah.
Yeah, Mark Devine. Yeah.
Yeah, have you read it?
I've not read his book, but I listened to a podcast interview with him, funnily enough.
Yeah.
and I think it was on a podcast called Barbell Shrugged. And
Yes, he's been on that,
So it was a really good interview, and I actually, I mucked around with it a little bit, and I told, so I'm a CrossFitter, and I told one of my mates at CrossFit about it, because he was struggling with headspace, and, you know, getting partway through a workout with a movement that he wasn't so good at, and he was getting angry and frustrated, and it was just really hurting his performance, and he wasn't enjoying himself, and anyway, I put him onto it, and he's been doing it for a while now. And this guy is so zenned out in his workouts. He's not crushing it by 50% more, but, you know, 10-15% improvement, and he's enjoying himself, and he's developing again, and all just from doing this box breathing or this tactical breathing. It's amazing.
And there's a lot of, like, a lot of other parts is, like, positive self-talk and you know, gratitude. You know, there's a part in there where, like, gratitude and sadness can't live together.
Yep.
So you can, if you can practice gratitude, and there's a lot of other tricks in there that you can sort of employ over the days, weeks, and months. But you can get started straight away, and that's the best part about it. And it's something that you can do in your own time, in your own place. You know, nobody has to. Like, I didn't even tell anyone for months I was doing it, because I was in that mode where I just got to do what I've got to do to make it work, and I can't, but you know, like the stuff that we had to go through and endure through losing my brother, and just the business stuff, you know, trying to transition, like timing for everything, you know, is important, and having that sort of, you know, gone through the whole thing of when you're a tradesman. I was a roofer for 20 years, and I was losing that identity. And, you know, all those things were happening at the same time. And the only reason why I got through, I think, is because of this mindset adjustment. And it's everything.
And it's, as I was saying before, you know, I've worked with a lot of business owners and tradespeople or tradie business owners. And I've had people over the years criticize my coaching, actually, because they've said, oh, you know, we're spending too much time on mindset and we just need to look at spreadsheets. Oh, we're not doing enough on spreadsheets. And, you know, this is a business owner who, you know, could be miserable every time I see him each week or her, or hating on his staff, or, you know, clearly not okay. And there seems to be this resistance or discounting of how important our headspace is in, well, everyday life, but business especially.
Oh, mate, you know, like I had to. So that was one of the other things that I had to do, because I was a tradie. You know, I was on the tools, nail bag, you know, all those kind of things. The first thing I had to do was to be able to run an asbestos business, was to be able to develop the mindset of being in the business of running an asbestos business. Yeah. You know, the first thing I did was threw my ladder off my ute. Took off the ladder racks, got rid of my tools, you know what I mean? Because, you know, I've still got this ute now because it's practical, but I am never buying another ute again. And that's part of the mental transition for me of becoming a businessman, you know. And it really sort of, I talk to a lot of people and I'm in the local master builders and I talk to them, and it's really sad for me to see a lot of tradies go down this whole sort of, I'm a tradie, now I'm a businessman, now I've got my own business, and that I don't, like, it's like a poison chalice for a lot of blokes.
Yep.
And I think I'm the biggest proponent of it. The biggest problem in the builders industry is lack of business skills. There is no other, all these problems now, I don't know, anywhere else in Australia, is this massive thing. All these builders are going broke. There's Phoenix Trading. There's all these kind of things. You can look all those things up. But all adds up to blokes not taking the business of being in the trade business seriously.
And I laugh, mate, not because it's funny, but because, you know, it's a bit of a tragic comedy.
It is.
Because I keep saying it, but I come across that daily in my travels, and I'm just one business coach, and there's a heap of business consultants and marketing consultants and coaches and even blokes like yourself out there in business who are doing things differently that are seeing how much people underestimate the shift that's required to go from being a tradesperson to actually owning and running a trade-based business. It's a very different skill set. It's not impossible, and plenty of people make that transition, but it's just, it'd just be nice if people acknowledged that and then said, well, how do I do that? You know, that's such an important question, is how do I make the transition?
Well, the first step, like, it's, you know, all this, all the old sayings come out now. The longest journey starts with the first step.
So you I bet you've got a few, Jason. I bet you've got a few.
Mate. Right. But I've come up with my own, and one of them I'm really proud of. I sort of got to this, I thought, I'm going to make the change. I don't know how to make the change. So what I did was, there was an episode of the Seinfeld where George Costanza says, now I'm going to do the opposite of everything. And I don't know. So he basically, every decision he ever made that he ever trusted, he changed it to the opposite. So that's what I started doing. I called it invoking the Costanza protocol. So
I love it, mate. That's awesome.
If I was going to write a quote, I'd go, no, you're not doing it that way. You have to find another way. If I was going to talk to a customer, no, you're not going to use that language. You're going to change the way that you talk about it. Probably wouldn't hurt if you wash your ute once a month. You know, these, these kind of things. And I started to get curious because it drove, because I put myself in a situation where I had to become someone else. And the only way to do that was to keep reinforcing that. Not that I had self-doubt. I didn't even have any self-doubt. I had so much self-belief that that's why I did it, because I backed myself all the way. And you know what? Tradies have got these skills. You know,
oh, absolutely.
Everyone's done that impossible job in that, for that impossible customer on that impossible site, and somehow managed to get paid. You can do all that,
yeah,
you can do all this. And it's actually quite, it's really rewarding for me. Like I got up the other day, I had a breakfast with my business group where we have great speakers come in, so I get some knowledge from that. After that, we had a workshop, had to do a few quotes, came home, I had to write a few blogs, and then just think about some, I take a bit of time to think about what's going on in the business, what are the bits that I need to change, have a bit of a checklist. Now, that's an easier day to face than 14 hours on a roof.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm still using all the skills that I had. I think it's really, and I'm, you know, it's really terrible to throw away that life skills that you develop as a tradie and just go and work at like a hardware shop and be the expert on plumbing in aisle 14.
Was there a tipping point for you, mate? Did it click into gear for you at some stage, that transition from tradie to business owner?
Yeah, I've got a couple of good stories over the years that it was sort of thrust upon me. I had but one's probably more. I can tell you a quick one. I remember when I was an apprentice roofer just starting out, there was a plumber on site, and he would have been about 75, and he must have had like throat cancer or something, and he had the hole in his throat.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
He had a hanky.
Yeah.
Covering it that was duct taped around his throat.
No.
I guess to keep the dust out. And I just looked at him and I thought, that's not going to be me.
Yeah.
So that was a long time. And then another time was, I was doing some re-roofs down in Ballina and Lismore, and it was 40 degree every day. And I was in the, was staying in a local pub, and it was 40 during the day on the roof, but I reckon it was 45 in the hotel.
Mm.
Get in there, he turned the ceiling fan on, and it's doing about 1K an hour, so that's not helping. Laying in this bed, just sweating. Then I try to open the window of the hotel to get some fresh air in, and I jimmied it open, but it must have been under the bins.
Oh,
I had this waft of rubbish come through this window, so I'm just laying there sweating, smelling this smell. I get out of bed, try and fan the smell out of the room, close the window, and I had that sort of routine going. Then someone broke into the shop behind the pub, so I've got the blue light flashing, the rubbish smell, 42 degrees. Then the nightclub started.
Oh, yeah.
I'm laying in there in this bed going, I'm in Guantanamo Bay, and there isn't even a bunch of do-gooders out there trying to save me. I've put myself in this position. What the hell am I doing here? And that was the day that probably galvanized it for me. I thought, I have to, this change has to be made. That was enough.
Mm. So what were some of the key changes? So if, you know, if that little story just resonated a little too much with some of our listeners, Jason, what are some of the first steps? You know, you said before, greatest journey begins with the smallest step. What would be some of those small steps?
I got a business coach.
There nice, you go, mate. You're speaking my language, brother.
Well, I didn't know the first thing about being in business. You know, we'd had a lot of success with our building, with our roofing business. We had like a 7-figure income one year, and it was all based on luck. And that's why we weren't able to maintain it. We were just flat out busy, and I thought I was a genius.
Yeah, because you had heaps of work on.
We had heaps of work on them, but I didn't like the spreadsheets either, Warren, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and we had no idea in what was going on. So I thought I need to get set a base here. I was a member of local master builders, and they always push these kind of things. So I started going instead of just paying and not turning up. And I started to think, yeah, I've got to get a business coach. And I signed up for this 12-month thing, and we had phone calls every month and got workbooks and just really opened up my eyes. I thought, yeah, this is it. I've got momentum here. Mm. And it sort of just from there, it just sort of become like this thirst for knowledge because, you know, I already had the work ethic. I was already prepared to do whatever I had to get jobs done from being a tradie forever.
Yeah.
You know, and I just sort of navigated my way through and figured out what had value and what didn't and developed, you know, everything that I needed to do. And it's just such a rewarding thing, you know. Like I was talking to a guy that I used to roof with the other day and you know, these guys are still doing what I was doing 10 years ago or 5 years ago. You know, they're still sub in for the same places. And I just, I guess there was a part of this where it wasn't enough for me anymore being a tradesman. And I'd lost the passion for it,
yeah,
for roofing, you know. And it was showing in my work and it was causing problems and costing us money. So it was time to move on. But it's the best decision I've ever made. Mm. My life's so much more fulfilling, so much more interesting. And I'm still really involved in, you know, what's going on with roofs, because we still do asbestos re-roofs. We don't do the roofing anymore, but I can, when I talk to roofers and gutter guys and say, oh, mate, maybe we can do a few for you, all the knowledge, you know, it comes across and it just makes it so much easier to deal with people and for them to know. So, yeah, that's it. And I've always had from that time on, I've always had some sort of mentor, whether it be, you know, going to seminars and following through with all the stuff and implementing the stuff that I've learned, or and then going on to the next thing and just like being a tradie, constantly developing your skills so you can be better at what you do, which gives you pride in what you do, and you know, it attracts business and it attracts the right business. You know, learning that lesson about good customers and bad customers and letting your business and who to let out of your business. So, you know, when you're a trader, you just work for anybody.
Winning a job is a reason to celebrate.
Absolutely.
Regardless of whether you make any money out of it or not.
Yeah, now I'm like, you know, supermodel. I'm not getting out of bed for less than this, mate. Might be a little job and you might need it done, but, you know, running a business, you know, so it's awesome, you know. If there's a guy out there who's getting there's plenty of guys out there that are going to be tradies for the rest of their life and they're going to love it, and I think that's awesome because I think that you have to have some sort of passion for what you do and what you work in. You know, a lot of people think, I want to find something I'm passionate about, but you know, like, mate, I do asbestos removal. I'm passionate about it. And it didn't start off like that.
Yeah.
I'm passionate about it now because that's where we had to, that's where I could go. That's where my skill set was. And then at the start, it was like, we just have to move to this. And now I'm really passionate about it because I'm passionate about the business of being in business. I'm joining into the business community. I'm learning business skills. I'm, you know, that's what is makes me passionate about it now. So people sitting, yeah.
Different way to measure the outcomes. You can still be passionate about it. And the thing that I love about working with tradespeople is, in general, they take a lot of pride in their work. And there's a lot of crap about Australian tradies, and you know, they get a bit of a pasting in the media from time to time. And look, there's cowboys and bad operators in every industry across the globe. But, you know, I grew up with my dad who took pride in his work, and I take pride in my work as well. Now, I'm not building houses and, you know, laying tiles, but I want to do a great podcast every time. You know, my blog posts, I do a bit of DIY stuff around home as well. You know, it's in the blood. But it just shifts from wanting to, you know, install a window to the best of your ability to training your team to install windows to the best of their ability. Like the way you exert your influence just changes.
Oh, mate, you know, and, you know, like going back to that Australian trades getting bashed in the media, I am, like, so over that kind of thing. You know, do you know why there's a skill shortage in the skilled trades in every country in the world?
I'm sure you're about to tell us, mate.
it's as simple as it's so popular in the media to kick tradesmen.
Yeah.
You know, they're constantly being shown as dodgy rip-off merchants. And like, if that's true, how does any structure in Australia stand?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if that's so true, why are people living in houses
that's
that
right.
have been built for them by all these guys? It's so untrue. There's a guy in America, I don't know if you've read that, watch that show called Dirty Jobs.
Oh, I've seen a couple of episodes a while back, yeah.
The guy that does that show, his name's Mike Rowe, and he is so passionate about that message of the reason why there's a skill shortage is because society has devalued trades, skilled trades.
And yet, you know what? And I've spoken to a few people about this. It's one of the last remaining skills that cannot be mechanized or done away with via technology.
Like, absolutely, mate.
A robot is not going to come and unblock my dunny. Like, that's a long way off. It's got to be a guy or a chick coming out and getting their hands dirty or crawling inside my ceiling to figure out why the light won't work. I mean, we've automated so many things, but the trades are like the last bastion of human endeavor. And because of that, I think it's such a fantastic opportunity for operators like yourself and the other people who listen to the show to run great trade businesses.
And, mate, you're so right. And it's so rewarding, you know, to be able to for myself, to and it's hard to say this without casting shade on other people, but it's so rewarding to be able to run a great trade-based business, you know, when all these people, if they just took a little bit more, if they took attention to the fact that they're in the business of running a business instead of I'm a tradie, their lives will be so much more fulfilled and so much easier, because it's awesome, you know, like being a tradie is a great thing, you know. A lot of people, there's all that jealousy, you know, like the cashed up bogan and all that. But it's people talk like that because it looks great.
Yeah.
It's just a perfect fit for some people.
Absolutely.
And, you know, like, it's one of the few jobs that if all the electricians and all the plumbers didn't go to work, the world would stop.
You know, whole lot of people sitting in the dark with some funny smells.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, like you think if all the bankers didn't go to work, well, we have public holidays, that happens, we survive.
Yeah.
If the bakers don't go to work, we have, you know, there's days where those people, it doesn't, we'll get through the day or maybe 2 days. But if all the tradies just stopped, you know.
Lights out, mate.
You're right.
Literally.
Like, it just stopped. So it's really key, and there's so many like great family traditions of second and third generation tradesmen that and they're really proud of it. And these kind of things, I roll my eyes when I see a current affair just booting into another guy, and you know, like he deserves it, but they never. Have you ever seen a current affair just find a local guy, do a great story on him, tell him about the family tradition, and really sell the trade business as something that is a cornerstone of society and should be celebrated for that fact alone?
Good news, and it just makes me angry. Good news doesn't sell, mate. It's I think one of those sad things about the human race is we're addicted to drama and bad news, it seems. So
that's why I don't watch the news. That's one of my other resilience plays is don't watch the news.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't serve you. It just undermines your day.
So, mate, I'm conscious of time as well, and thank you so much for your generosity. Before we wrap up, though, a few more questions. One is, do you have some daily habits that you follow? I talk to my clients a lot about daily habits and setting up some good habitual practices that almost predispose you to having a great day, whatever that might look like. Do you have anything like that, Jason?
Yeah, obviously, I've just started back at the gym, and not exercising in the morning, and exercising in the morning is a massive difference.
Yep.
So I'm really valuing that at the moment. I always try and prepare my day the day before. We've just implemented some scheduling software in the business, which makes everything clearer. And I just, you know, I always trying to look to cut things out that aren't going to make the day go smoothly. At the end of every day, I actually sit down and figure out how much money we've made out of each job, because it helps me keep my pricing keen and keeps me motivated. Like I look at that and I go, that's awesome.
So when you say how much money you made, you're talking margin, not actual invoices.
Just because most of our jobs go for a day.
Yep.
So I can pretty much, I have a sheet that I've done up that I work out, you know, we spent this much on labor today, this much on consumables, blah, 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 blah. And I work it out every single day. And it's been a really good thing for me to get my handle on where we're at with the business every day. Obviously, MYOB takes over. So it's like my controllables, you know, the things that I can control in the business.
Yeah.
And then the fixed costs are worked out later. But I know what that line is. And I do work out our profit margin every day too. Has been a massive change.
Because it's a trap for a lot of operators and a lot of people that I've spoken to, is they think of, you know, how much money did I make today as, you know, I did 10 grand's worth of work. Yeah, turnover or revenue. But it's such a dangerous way to look at it, because, like you say, you got to take out labor and consumables and, you know, direct materials perhaps, depending on the business you're in, and see how much money you made, as in how much you kept from that job that you can use to pay running costs of the business, you know, overheads, fixed wages, vehicle leases, all that sort of stuff. So it's an important shift, mate, and thank you for bringing that one up.
Yeah, and just also too, tracking like the labor of the jobs. And if you get a pattern in any business where you have a similar job coming up, repeating over and over and over again, and you're going to know if you're running teams like I do, you need to know whether they're actually performing. And as unsexy as it sounds, it can come down to the labor percentage.
You
can know what's going on. And those are the kind of things I like that. I like to be able to, and I can give my guys good feedback on that. And those kind of things help me keep me in the game, you know, that mental game, because running a business is about paying attention to detail and being able to make small changes before things get, there's no use checking your figures once a month. It's too late.
That's only 12 corrections a year versus weekly is 52 corrections a year. So,
yeah,
you know, you can keep things on course much better, making those more frequent adjustments.
Mm. And take a breath.
Like I just did.
If you're under stress and it's all like, you know, you don't have to answer every question, You don't have to reply to every email. If you're not comfortable, you just need to stop and take a breath and give yourself time.
Mm.
And that's probably my number one tip for life. Take a breath.
Mm.
Change the way you look at everything.
And I think in that, Jason, you've answered the question that we've been asking on the show for a couple of years now of our guests, is if you had 1,000 tradies in a room, what's your sage words of wisdom that you would leave them with, mate?
Take a breath.
Yeah.
when you're about to call that guy because he hasn't paid you, maybe take a breath before you make that phone call.
Yeah.
When you've got to deal with that difficult, you know, there's a lot of conflict resolution in trades businesses.
Totally.
Make sure you take that breath before you go into that meeting, and it will change the way that the outcome every time.
Mm. So, mate, last thing before I let you get on with your day, what's next for Jason Spall?
Well, next week we sort of really like the idea of trying to scale the business up.
Mm-hmm.
I want to have a go at that, and our asbestos management plan for rental properties is a massive thing that we've put a lot of energy and expertise into. So that's kind of something we can scale nationally. So we'll be, once we get some more traction on that, that's going to be my. I'm going to have to hire people in the business to take the day to day stuff that I do off me so I can concentrate on this project. And I think that's where my business mind is going. And, you know, I've got two kids and a wife, spending as much more quality time with them, because I'm much happier and a lot more easygoing now. So we can go away and enjoy the time. And I think if you can't do that, maybe that's a sign, a red flag that you need to change things.
Mm. Great advice, mate. Well, look, thank you again for your time today, Jason. It's been awesome having a chat with you on the Tradies Business Show, mate. And I know you've been listening for a little while at least, so great to finally have you on here and give you your moment of stardom, mate, on the show.
Thanks, mate.
Mate, if people want to find out more about you or your business, what's the best way to go and do that?
We've got, obviously, we're on Facebook. Coastal Asbestos Removal. We've got our website, all the W's, coastalasbestosremoval.com.au. I've just launched a new, if you go to our Facebook page, I've just launched a new group that's Ask the Expert. Because even though I'm in asbestos removal and it's our business to get job, you know, to do the jobs for people and that, I still feel obliged to help people out. And I don't really care. If you've got something at your house that you think might be asbestos and you're not sure, I would rather you put a picture on that page and ask for help or advice. Or if your husband is just wrapped the hanky around his face and grabbed the hammer and he's just about to strip out the bathroom, yeah. I would much rather you just say, hey, what should we do here, mate? I'm happy to give that advice anytime. And I think the Facebook Ask the Expert through our Facebook page is the easiest way I can do that to help people out.
Love your work, mate, and look, personal gratitude to you too for the work you do as part of the Lived Experience Network and with Mates in Construction and Roses in the Ocean, mate. Great to hear more of your story there. So, mate, thanks for your time, and we'll let you go and clean up some more asbestos.
Thanks, mate.
You've been listening to the Tradies Business Show with Warwick Bidwell. Want to get off the tools and into true business ownership? Find out how at tradiesbusinessshow.com.